Hallelujah. There's not a problem he doesn't know. And there's not a problem too big that he cannot solve. Stand with me today. Turn with me to Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19. I need to warn you up front. You may not be able to run the aisles and shout with me for a while this morning on this sermon. But I can assure you that if you'll hang on long enough, perhaps we'll get there. And if we don't, it's the Word of God. Strictly the Word of God. Genesis 19 and 15. Genesis 19, 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. God is always merciful. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord." Let me stop right here and preach a little sermon to you. Those four words never go together. It's either "not so" or it's "not Lord." But if he's Lord, you don't tell him "not so." You cannot have those two words together. "Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." The only reason he couldn't do anything was because an old uncle was out there praying and seeking God. That's the reason he couldn't do anything. "Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Luke 17, 32. Jesus is speaking three words, and he says, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember Lot's wife. I'm going to preach for a while on the topic to the mothers. How do you want to be remembered? You may go to your seat. This is the only mention that I know of in the scriptures about Lot's wife. And Jesus is speaking, and he inserts a statement in the scriptures telling us to remember her. So how am I to remember Lot's wife? Let's go back and look at the plain of Mamre and see an old man, Abraham, as he pleads with the Lord as to the saving of Sodom and Gomorrah. They come to him, and Abraham said, "Would you save that city if there are 50 righteous?" I know that city is far larger than the city in which we reside. "Would you save that city if there are 50? And Abraham thinks for a little while, and he says, "There might not be 50 righteous in that entire city. Would you save it if there are 45? God says, "I'll save it if there are 45. Then he thinks for a minute and he says, "There might not even be 45. Would you save it if there are 40? "I'll save it if there are 40. What about 30? "I'll save it if there are 30 people. Oh, it might not be 30 people. What about 20 people? I'll save it if there are 20. Finally, he gets down to 10. And I believe God in his mercy would have gone on if Abraham said, would you save it just for my nephew? God is so merciful. And the Lord gives him his word. Can't you see the burdened old man crying out for his nephew and his family to be spared from the judgment of God? Let me tell you, sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters today, there has been a lot of prayer gone out for you from some mamas and some daddies and some grandmothers and some granddaddies, praying that God would spare your life at any circumstance and for whatever reason. Abraham knew what was going to happen to Lot when Lot charted his direction toward the well-watered plains of Sodom. Young people, when you chart your direction toward Sodom, you're headed for trouble. Cast your tent in another direction. Go to the highland. Go to the highway and don't cast towards Sodom and Gomorrah. One step in that direction leads to a complete overwhelming of that particular city. All of the trouble started with the decision to start towards Sodom. You can't save yourself. You can save yourself a lot of trouble if you'll chart your direction in the right way. You will never go wrong by going right. The Lord honored Abraham's request and he left. That tells me that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One day, two angels showed up in Sodom at Lot's door. They finally persuade him to leave the city, for judgment is going to fall on the city. Let me insert it right here. If God does not place judgment upon America because of our debauchery and sin and our unwillingness to do what God wants us to do, at some point in time, he'll have to go back and repent to what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. There will come a time when judgment will fall upon America. He tried to talk to his sons-in-law, and they laughed at him. When you play games with people, they never know when you are serious. When you cry woof, woof, woof before long, they don't know when the woof is really at the door. The angels finally got Lot, Mrs. Lot, and their two daughters out of the city by laying their hands on them and actually dragging them out of the city. I would hate to think that I love the pleasures of sin so much that God would have to literally drag me out of the city. Are you with me so far? They told him, don't you look back, go to the hills, out, not the plains. But they allowed him to go to Zoar. In other words, don't even take a backward look at this world. It's not worth the look. There's nothing in this world worth looking back for. There's nothing in this world worth missing heaven for. You know the story. Eventually, Mrs. Lot just could not help but looking back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. There she stands, a monument to disobedience, a monument to selfishness, pride, greed, arrogance, rebellion, and sin. My question to you, mother, is this. How do you want your children to remember you? Mrs. Lot will be remembered as a mother who did not teach her children the ways of God. We're living in a day when the popular thing is to be popular. Mamas want their kids to be popular in school, popular in the marketplace, and there are multitudes of thousands of mothers who want their kids to be popular so badly that they will go to any cost to get them there. The problem with that is most of the time the price tag is too costly. Before you start pushing your kid over the edge, you better check to see what's beyond the edge. What's waiting? I'm convinced that Mrs. Lot did very little training in the ways of God. Just look at how her daughters turned out. After they left the city, The daughter said, you know, we need to have some kind, we need to leave some kind of heritage. We need to leave something. We need to leave a name. So they went into their old dad, and both of them were with child, and one child was called Moab and the other Ben-Ami, which are the beginnings of the Moabs, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and those were awful, awful people, as we know, studying the Word of God. But she wasn't anywhere around. She was a pillar of salt. Mama, you need to be around to give some godly advice. You need to be around there. Mama, the price tag is too expensive, hear me closely, if it causes them to end up pregnant or fathering a child before marriage. The price tag is too high. The price tag is too high if it causes them to take their first drink. The price tag is too high if it causes them to take their first shot of dope. The price tag is too high if it causes them to be with the jet set crowd and they choose an alternative lifestyle. The price tag is too high if it causes them to lie and cheat and steal. The price tag is too high if it causes them to forget who they are, so they forget home, family, church, and God. It's too high if it causes them to get their priorities out of focus. It's too high if it causes them to sin. It's too high if it leads them to hell. Mama, you'd better train them up right and keep them out of Sodom, and don't even let them cast their eyes in that direction. I'd rather stay up toward the mountains and toward the hills where old Abraham was. God will provide and God will watch over. I'd rather for my kids to serve God than to have all the multi-million dollars in this world and to be the famous and the rich and the jet set. Oh God, would you let us, the mamas, fall on their faces to God today and say, God, would you save our generation? Would you call out to God one more time? It might be popular, but it will ruin them. Take them to the feet of Jesus and let them study His words, His love, His salvation. It's far better to know that they know Jesus and His mercies than it is to know all of the latest fashions, styles, and customs. Mrs. Lot will be remembered as a woman who thought only of herself. We're living in the most selfish generation that has ever lived. Mama, from the time you conceive that child until the time you grasp your last breath, and especially during your training years, you have to keep your thoughts off of yourself and focus them on those kids God has given you. You may come in here looking like $1 million, but if your kids don't know Jesus, you're going in the wrong direction. I told you wouldn't be shouting with me this morning. I told you that. You'll have to keep your thoughts on those kids. Mrs. Lot was thinking of all of her so-called friends, the nightlife, the loose living, the things that appeal to the flesh, and the fun she had down in Sodom. She certainly wasn't thinking about her family. When you think only of yourself, you're on a one-way street heading toward a dead end. Sin is always selfish. You hear me very closely when I tell you now, suicide is the height of selfishness. And she was at the summit because that's what she did. Mrs. Lot will be remembered for her selfishness. She didn't care about anybody but herself. If she had, she would not have turned back and looked at Sodom. There are mothers across America today who care nothing about any member of their family but themselves. You go on television and watch any kind of news outlet, and you will see mamas sitting there who are on trial because they've drowned their kids, they've stabbed their kids, they've shot their kids, they've done selfishness. Pure selfishness, pure hellishness. What horrible way for a family to have a memory of you. The attitude she had was, when they sat down at the table, it wasn't like it was in our family. There were only three of us, and if there were only two pieces of meat there, suddenly my mama didn't want any. Suddenly she wasn't hungry. Not so with Mrs. Lot. Selfishness rules supreme. Let me have what I want. I'll look. If I want to look, I'll pay the price. If I want to pay the price, I'll do what I want to do. That leads to destruction. It leads to damnation. Mrs. Lot said, I'll do everything what I want to do. She bought what she wanted. She did what she wanted. Her kids had what was left. Unlike my mama, when I needed a pair of $2.98 shoes, she suddenly realized she didn't need a new flour sack dress. And she said, go pick out that sack of flour or meal, whatever sack you wanted for your next shirt. Not selfish, but selfless. Mrs. Lot will be remembered as a selfish mother. Mama, you can have everything, but if you lose your kids and your soul, you have nothing. You have nothing. You haven't gained anything if you live in a mansion, drive a Rolls Royce, drive a Bentley, hobnob with the Sodom crowd and live like a queen, but you lose your family. It would be better that you lived in a tent. It would be better that you had nothing to drive. It would be better that you had none of the fine clothes. If you live in a tent with nothing and your kids know Jesus, you have all the wealth that this world could ever have. What a way to be remembered for time and eternity. A selfish mother. I am where I am today because of an unselfish or selfless mother. She gave when she had nothing to give. She loved when she couldn't love anymore. She prayed when she couldn't pray anymore. She sacrificed until she couldn't sacrifice anymore. She stood against a tempter until she couldn't stand anymore. She fought until she couldn't fight anymore. There are some mamas in this room today in the very same situation. You're doing everything you can. And to you, I salute you and say thank God, because mamas are willing to stand against the wiles of this world and willing to stand against the enemy and stand against the tide of evil and stand against everything the devil is throwing against our families. Will we have one more time that mamas will cry out to God? Mamas, you can change America. Mama, you can change your world. Mama, you can change your situation if you'll stay fast and hold on to God Almighty. Oh, my. Mrs. Lot will be remembered as a mother who thought more of this world than she thought of eternity. She stood on the brink of escape. She stood on the door of freedom. She stood between two worlds. One was the world of bright lights, fast lanes, sensual pleasures, selfish desires, sin, and ultimate death. And the other was the world of true happiness and family and true friends, godliness, purity, clean heart, and ultimately life eternal. And she chose wrong. She chose wrong. Bad choices are made every second in this world. Bad choices, bad choices, bad choices. She stood with an ultimatum in her mind and turned away anyhow. She played the role of a fool and forsook her family for just one look back. Just one look back. Mama, it's not worth it to be remembered as a fool. It's not worth it just to be remembered as an independent thinker. Hear me. It's not worth it just to be remembered as a prominent woman of the community. It's not worth it just to say you climbed to the top. She was the mayor's wife. Lot was mayor of Sodom. Everything was going their way. It's all right. It's not worth it to give up everything for just one look. It's not worth it to have the world by the tail with a downhill pull and lose your life and your family and your eternity. It's not worth it. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember that one mother had a chance to save herself and her family. and she absolutely and totally blew it. She played the role of a fool. She played for the moment and lost. She rolled the devil's dice and came up empty. She said, "You may push me out of Sodom, but you'll never push Sodom out of me. Mama, you can come to church and act like you ought to, talk like you ought to, look like you ought to, sing like you ought to, pretend to be what everybody thinks you are, but down inside you're looking back all the time. I'm talking to somebody here today, checking out this and checking out that, saving what if I and saying what if they and what if we and never happy and always wanting to go back. It won't work." Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife. There is an abomination here." For there were only a few times that Jesus said and told us to remember. So he's telling us and he's admonishing us, you need to look back and see what caused this. Why did it happen the way it happened? There must be something powerful that he wants us to remember about Lot's wife. He's saying the old song, "Turn back, my child, for the way is very steep. The things you find out there you cannot keep. The way is filled with thorns, and the things you find are cheap. Turn back, my child, come home with me." Mama, you better have your kids' eternal destiny as your number one priority. Number one priority. It's more important that they get in these altars and make heaven than it is to make the Dallas Cowboy team. It is more important that they get the Holy Ghost in their souls than for you to give them a new car for graduation. It's more important for them to love Jesus than it is for them to be the highest paid person in the entire nation. It's more important that they get a glimpse of heaven and never forget it than to have a glimpse of fame and fortune and achieve the best that there is in this world. The songwriter said, "Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I won't turn back." I would much rather have been able to remember Mrs. Lot as a mother like Jochebed, the mother of Moses, who saved her son to be God's prophet and ultimately saved the entire nation of Israel. About 3,600 years ago, a faithful mother planned and schemed and prayed and saved her baby boy. We know from Exodus 6:20 and from Numbers 26:59 that her name was Jochebed. But the story in Exodus 2:1-10 just tells her and tells us of the mother of Moses. You know the story. Strange that nothing is said about this father's part in saving this child, but the mother had everything to do with it. Jochebed looked at the little baby boy and she saw that he was a goodly child. I feel confident that that mother had some wonderful premonition when that baby was born, that from God he would be blessed as a mighty lawgiver and he would be blessed as the deliverer of the nation of Israel. It seems that before the twins Jacob and Esau were born, that Rebekah inquired of the Lord and knew that the elder would serve the younger, that Jacob would prevail and that the head be the head of the nation. And we do not condone her scheming, but she eventually and knew all the time that God was going to do this in that manner and in that place. From Genesis we find it. So Moses' mother, having some sweet inkling of what God had in mind for this baby Moses, set out to work with God to spare him. So she makes a little ark. She makes it of bulrushes. She fills it with slime or with pitch. Pitch there means the same thing as atonement in the New Testament. She's lining that basket. She's lining that ark. And she's making it so the baby is going to be safe. And the baby is going to be all right and not killed with all the other babies. The Spirit of the Lord had to guide her as she made that little basket. And she places that little baby down in the ark. And she calls Miriam to watch. And the queen comes by. The princess comes by and says, "Do you know somebody that can take you?" "I certainly do." She carries him right over to the mother, and she has time to train him, time to teach him, time to tell him. I can see her sitting there after day and say, Moses, I might not make it. I may be killed before you're grown, but you remember you're in Pharaoh's palace, but you're not an Egyptian. You're in Pharaoh's palace, but you're not one of them. You may go to their schools, but you're not one of them. Learn their education, but remember who you are. I came to tell somebody today, you need to remember who you are. You need to remember you're bought with a price. You need to remember your soul is not for sale. You need to remember that you're God's all and you belong to Him. I'm His and His alone. Hallelujah. I wonder if my mama had any premonition when she laid her hands on me as a kid for preaching. I think so. I would much rather have been able to remember Mrs. Lot as I remember Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, who gave him to God to be a Nazarite before he was born. Hannah was one of the two wives of Elkanah, but she had no children. She wept much and would not eat. They went to Shiloh, the place of worship, and we read, she had bitterness in her soul. She cried out to God. She vowed a vow to God, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaiden a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There will never be a razor touch his head. He will be dedicated unto you. The aged priest Eli saw her mouth moving, but he didn't hear anything. He thought she was drunk. Oh, Hannah said, I'm not drunk. I just poured my soul out unto the Lord. I poured my soul out unto the Lord. I gave him everything that I had. Everything that I had. She went her way, did eat. Her countenance was no more sad. God had spoken to her in assurance. And then she conceived. A child was born. She named him Samuel, meaning ask of God. After 2 or 3 years, when he was weaned, she took him to Eli, to the place of worship, and said to him, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I will lend him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And each year she would bring a garment up for him. And the young Samuel was soon converted, and he took on himself the vow that he would be a Nazarite the rest of his life. Samuel was one of the few prominent men in the Old Testament about whom there was nothing bad said about, and never was questioned, never a fault, never a mistake is mentioned. Along with Joseph and Daniel, he was counted blameless, the prophet of a mother's prayer and the product of a mother's prayer, and the price a mother was willing to pay that she could give her influence to that Mrs. Lot could have been remembered as a praying mother. But instead, she was remembered as a pillar of salt. I would like to be able to remember Mrs. Lot as I remember Elizabeth, who prayed and prayed and prayed and gave her, God gave her the mighty John the Baptist. Zacharias and Elizabeth were both well stricken in years, the Bible says, and Elizabeth too old to have a child. But in answer to prayer, God gave her a child. And that child grew and grew, and the Bible says there was none born of woman like unto John the Baptist. The birth of John the Baptist was a time of great joy. And Zechariah, filled with the Spirit, prophesied wonderful things about John, specifically after Christ, that he was going to announce his coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. But Zacharias had little faith. And because he had not believed, was dumb, could not speak, could not open his mouth. And finally, the child, I believe Elizabeth had far more faith than Zacharias did. Zacharias couldn't believe it was going to take place and happen. But when it did, they said, we're going to name this child Zacharias. And he opened his mouth and said, no, his name shall be called John. Great in the sight of the Lord, who would drink neither wine nor strong drink, who would be filled with the Spirit of God even in his mother's womb, and turn many of Israel to Christ. And so when Mary spoke to her, she cried with a loud voice, and the baby leaped within her womb and was filled with the Holy Ghost. No doubt the things he did for God had a great deal to do, because a mama prayed before he ever came. My mama prayed before he ever came. I wish I could have remembered Lot's wife that way. I wish I could have remembered Lot's wife as I remembered my own mother. Talking to Sandy at the door, she was standing there crying this morning. She said, I was just thinking, I certainly would like to talk to my mama today. But she's been gone, I think she said, 23 years. I'd like to remember Mrs. Lot as I remembered my mother when she sat by my bed when I had the mumps or the measles or the chicken pox and all of the kinds of sicknesses that came through, putting her hand on my forehead, wiping my fevered brow, putting a sheet over my bed so the light wouldn't hurt my eyes, and putting her hand there and praying, God, would you heal him? I wish I could remember Mrs. Lot like my mother when she would go to church and sing and shout and listen to the word of God. I wish I could remember her as I did my mama when she got happy and shouted, little small, 100 pounds soaking wet, little Indian lady, as she shouted, magnified, and praised God. I wish I could have remembered Mrs. Lot as I remember my mother when she would pray for me and ask God to help me make it through my nights and the night season. When she would join with me in prayer over some problem, or when she would just call later on in life and say, I've been praying for you today. I've told you before, but I'll never forget the day I was struggling. Oh, I was struggling to get a message, get it all together. She called. I don't want to be bothered when I'm studying. Don't want to be bothered when I'm getting ready at all. But phone call, I answered the phone. It was my mama. She said, I just want you to know I was praying a while ago. And Jesus walked in this room. She knew the presence of God. She knew when Jesus walked in the room. And she said, I felt his presence. Now go to Jeremiah 33:3 when you read it. Says, I will do great things that you know not of. God gave me that scripture just for you. I just wanted to tell you. Love you, and hung up. I wish Mrs. Lot could have been like my mama when she would join with me and pray and pray and pray and seek God. When she took less so I could have more. Even when I took advantage of her, she overlooked it because she loved me. When she would walk through our house and pray over everything in it, when she would anoint things, when she would kneel to pray in the mornings as they come in here, and the boys were already down in the back pasture playing ball, and I wanted to get down there, we're going to pray. She didn't care whether I missed the bus for school. Didn't make her any difference. The main thing was my relationship with God Almighty. I wish Mrs. Lot had that kind of memory, or they had of her. When she would put her arms around me and start talking in tongues, oh, the presence of God would come down. Or when I would go by her house and ask her, would you just lay your hands on me and pray for me? Today I need a little extra help. And she would lay her hands and pray the glory of God down. I might not have to say a word. Just let her pray. In fact, I didn't want to say. My prayers were insignificant when she was praying. Wish I could remember Miss Lot like that, but I can't. I wish I could remember one of these days when I get to heaven and see her without wrinkles and without cares, without a burdened heart, without a pain, without a tear, without a sorrow, without a problem, with perfect health, with all sickness and arthritis gone. I remember my mama, and you remember yours even if she's gone. I'm deadly serious with you right now. If you had a godly mama, you had more than all the wealth this world could ever give you. All the wealth this world could ever give you. And I plead with you today, mama, do something for God that they can remember about you. They're going to forget whether you had a clean kitchen. And they're going to forget whether you were the stylish lady in the church. And they're going to forget Whether you did or did not do something this weekend for them, a year from now, they'll never remember it. But they'll always remember you laying your hand on them and saying, God, would you make this son or this daughter another vessel of yours, another instrument of God Almighty. Let them have memories of godly things you do. If Jesus tarries someday, let them be able to say, I remember a godly mother. I remember a godly mother. For all I can remember about Mrs. Lot, she turned into a pillar of salt. How do you want your kids to remember you? Would all the mothers in this room stand, please?